set on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guts, don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand, spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns, don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll dance your fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second hour, your defending fathers, Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network, joining us every Friday from 10 to 11. Pastor Rusty Chedfield and I have been doing this for over, I believe, 10, 12, 13, I forget how many years now. Every Friday, doing a history lesson, having a discussion on the show. Greatly appreciate his efforts, his lesson plans, his preparation. Today he's got an interesting one. This goes back to the presidential election of 1980, Ronald Reagan versus George Herbert Walker Bush. That's the old man, the pilot in the war. Absolutely remember that like yesterday. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Hey, Randy, before I start, I hope I don't get in trouble for this, but I want to say to you what I said to my wife before I left. I said, Betty, you're a lying liberal loser.
Oh, yes, you've heard the commercial. Got it.
Now, yep. 'Cause I'm sure there's a lot of John James supporters, and that's fine.
Yep.
And there's no doubt a lot of Perry Johnson supporters. That's fine, too. Do I really believe that? No, I don't really believe that. Hey, whatever. He's a politician. It is what it is. I mean, but I like the way the three L's kind of roll off. You're a lying
liberal loser. I can tell you where that came from. Perry reached out to me. John Yab, his consultant, reached out to me early on in the year. Actually, you're going to love this story. We got to hold the lesson plan for a second. Do you remember the Tigers' collapse last year? They had that 15-16 game lead, and the Cleveland Indians came from behind and forced us into a playoff against them. During that run, Perry Johnson and his son, the long-haired younger gentleman that owns a mortgage company competing with Dan Gilbert with Rocket Mortgage down in Detroit, was sitting in those blue leather seats behind home plate. And Vicky and I, we have MLB TV. We have a subscription. We watch every Tiger baseball game, whether it's on broadcast TV or not, because we have direct access to MLB. And it was an evening game. It was a Sunday night or Saturday night game. You know how they have those specials for playoff-type games? Well, yeah. We're laying in bed on the big screen, and I went, oh, my God, that's Perry Johnson. You can recognize his red hair and his son. I know his son with the long hair sitting right behind home plate. So I zoomed in on the big screen, and I took a picture of it. And I texted it to Perry. This was late September last year. And I said, hey, Perry, you're at the Tiger game, sitting about fifth row behind home plate, right on the aisle. He texted me back, and he goes, yes. Well, I sent him the picture. And I said, hey, are you going to run for governor next year, 2026? And he goes, well, I got a lot of praying to do. Got to convince my wife, and I'm not sure yet, Trucker. And I said, well, listen, if you decide, make me this promise that I will be the first radio interview you do when you announce. And he came on my show in February, and then I ended up doing an interview with him in March. I'm going to tell you exactly where lying liberal loser came from when we get back. Short break, more with Pastor Chatfield. We'll be right back.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Well, I'm sure by now y'all up here in northern Michigan have heard of Curtis Gunsmithing, the little gun shop over here off Picker Lake Road in Petoskey. Mr. Tom Curtis can fix any gun you put in front of him. The Gun Doctor is a certified gunsmith. You won't find one better in the north. And you sure as heck don't have to travel out of town to go see one. Get your quality gun work done right here in your town. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey. Give Tom a call today at 231-838-5571. Come see the Gun Doctor.
If you have pain in your back, neck, shoulders, hip, knees, wrists, or feet, Dr. Gary Willey's Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic laser treatment for you. This technology takes away pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience robotic laser pain relief at a special new customer price. Call us for fast relief Monday through Wednesday to learn more and to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
The W Tax Group fights your IRS and state tax problems. With experienced tax attorneys and a dedicated legal team, we represent clients in all 50 states. We resolve tax liens, wage garnishments, back taxes, and reduce tax liabilities for businesses and individuals. We secured over $10 million in tax debt relief for clients every year. Call the W Tax Group today and get experience nationwide tax resolution on your side. Call us at 855-346-1788. Again, 855-346-1788.
I'm Justin Michael. For over 500 consecutive days, I've worked diligently to earn your respect by having difficult conversations in every town, city, village, and township in our district. I've driven over 100,000 miles to meet you where you are, at your businesses, in your homes, and in your communities. On August 4th, you get to decide if you want leadership that says they will represent you once they get to Washington, or someone who represents you now. It's time for change. Vote for me, Justin Michael, on August 4th. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TRUCKERRANDY, or call 800-654-9659.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Staying on through the break, Pastor Chatfield listening to my rant about the Perry Johnson commercial you're hearing on this radio station, as well as other radio stations around the state of Michigan. Perry Johnson, his announcer, narrator of his commercial, calling John James a lying liberal loser. And where they came from, before I run the ad, I called John Yab and I said, John, this is pretty strong language. I said, what is it based on? What it is, and you're going to start seeing some ads on TV starting today, running through the weekend, of the Attorney General candidate Kevin Kievsky, Secretary of State candidate Monica Yutuma, talking about the application, Past Chatfield, that John James' campaign made regarding public assistance funding for his governor campaign. And they allege in these TV commercials, the attorney, Kevin Kievsky, reviewed the application and said that, number one, he used the wrong form. Number two, he did not provide the auditable Excel spreadsheet. He provided copies, photocopies of checks, over 3,443 of them, to the Secretary of State, and he filed late. But yet he was still given $260,000 from Jocelyn Benson. She personally signed off on it, authorized the funding of that public assistance for his campaign, and they're actually calling for John James to return it back to the taxpayers of the state of Michigan. So that is the basis for them calling him a lying liberal loser. And because Perry Johnson believes he's going to win on Tuesday. But I just wanted to give you the background on that. And when you first heard it or saw it, what was your reaction to it?
I'm not into this. I didn't like it, but that's politics. Everybody, it's just politics. I'm not here endorsing. Nobody cares who I'm going to vote for anyway. Frankly, I don't know. Let me put it this way. I'll say this. Whoever gets the Republican nomination for governor, I'm going to vote for in the general election.
Sure.
I'm undecided. I'm undecided of who I'm going to vote for. I was going to vote for Mike Cox. I was, but, you know, he dropped out.
Right.
That's the way it is. Okay.
Yep. Yep.
And that's the way it is. And so I don't know. But I just, I don't like insults. However, that insult is just funny. And it kind of, recently they've dropped the loser part. They've on the recent commercial, they saw he's a lying liberal. I mean,
right.
When you say lying liberal loser, has an interesting flow to it. And I'm only just watching this from a distance.
Right.
And I've seen this over and over again. I wish politics wasn't like this. But believe me, it is. It is. We had this conversation back in 2016.
Yep.
When future President Trump was calling Marco Rubio Little Marco.
Yeah.
He was calling Governor Bush Low Energy Jeb, I think. Wasn't that what he was calling?
Yeah, Low Energy Jeb. Yep.
He had nicknames, kind of insulting nicknames for about everybody.
Yeah.
He is the, and I thought, wow, I thought that's not going to play very well. Hey, guess what? I was wrong. I guess insults work. It's just,
every single person he gave a nickname to dropped out of that race. Every single person.
I will say that says something about the American electorate, Republicans included, that
yeah.
You can simply name call somebody and that's going to cause some people to not vote for that person. It's just a statement about who we are. But I picked out 1980. It's in my memory. But there's others. Okay, in 1980, Ronald Reagan's running for president. Remember, he ran in 76, lost in a very close race to Gerald R. Ford, and went into the convention thinking that he might be able to win the nomination in 76, but he didn't. Afterward, I remember Reagan saying, "Good fight, Mom, he won." You remember that statement?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
When he endorsed Gerald Ford, the sitting president, and Ford lost in a pretty close race to Jimmy Carter. But he starts running again. And now, Reagan was the conservative. He was the hardcore conservative. And he was introducing something that was new to most people at the time. And it's the idea of supply-side economics. What is that? I'm teaching economics at Northern Michigan Christian Academy this year in the high school level. Send your kids there. Anyway, but so supply-side economics is this. Believe it or not, and I think this is proven out to be true, that if you'll cut tax rates and let people keep more of their money to spend, not only are you promoting the economy and promoting freedom and free enterprise, ironically, as counterintuitive as it may seem, the revenues to government will increase, not decrease. In other words, if people have more of their own money to spend and or invest, they will invest it or spend it. And that will cause the economy to spike. More people will work. More people will pay taxes. And therefore, more revenue will come into the government. Now, there was Reagan supported what was called the Kemp-Roth bill. Remember Jack Kemp, Congressman Jack Kemp?
Oh, yeah.
From New York.
Yeah.
They were going to cut federal income taxes by 30%. And what that would do, Reagan said, and it proved to be true, that it would spur the economy. And actually, it's not that revenue to the government would go down. It would actually go up, even though the rates are lower, more people are paying. You're spurring the economy. And so people were skeptical of that. George Herbert Walker Bush, much more of a traditional Republican, kind of a moderately conservative Republican. He wasn't a liberal, but do you remember what he called that?
Yes,
he called
that voodoo economics.
Voodoo economics.
Yep.
In other words, it's unrealistic. That's it. It's some sort of magic wand that this right-wing hardcore conservatives portraying for us. But you know what happened? In the end, Reagan secured the nomination. He won. And when he was deciding who's he going to pick for his vice president, who did he pick? George Herbert Walker Bush.
I wanted him
to pick
Jack Kemp. Do you remember that, discussion back in the day? They because of that plan of supply-side economics by Jack Kemp, many of us thought that Reagan was going to ask Jack Kemp from the big popular state of New York, a lot of population, Reagan from California, the two West Coast, East Coast ticket, they thought was going to be an absolute slam dunk. And many of us were shocked that he ended up picking George H.W. Bush.
Okay. Now, the political professionals were saying, no, we need to balance the ticket. And this is a standard Republican, Democrat. There's always this idea of balancing the ticket, balancing it ideologically, and sometimes balancing it geographically. In other words, if for instance, in 1960, John F. Kennedy running for president, a Roman Catholic. Oh, boy. How's he going to do in the South? Well, he picked Lyndon Baines Johnson, senator from Texas, to be his vice president. That's balancing the ticket. Would John F. Kennedy have carried Texas without Johnson on the ticket? Probably not. And he probably probably wouldn't have been elected president. So you balance the ticket. That's a political thing that you do at statewide level, national level. So they wanted to balance the ticket. Now both Reagan was a hardcore conservative. At the time, people are saying, yeah, he's way too conservative to be elected president. They said that so much that I voted for him. I said, I don't know if he's going to win. When I was watching the election returns in 1980, I was hopeful. But then I was astounded that he won in a landslide. So you had to balance the ticket. Here's another thing that you do in politics, that you have to heal the party. In other words, the more moderate loss, okay, we'll throw a bone to the moderates. And we'll take Bush as the vice president because we want to get elected. And why did Vice President Bush, who had a and he was a former congressman, the director of the CIA, well-known. Why did he accept the vice presidential nomination? Well, because it kept him relevant. He would be serving with Reagan, and he did. And I remember Reagan said he did a great job as vice president. Now, in 1988, when Vice President Bush was running for president, you know, he kind of moderated a little bit. You remember this line? It is inaugural in 1989, the most famous line. We need a kinder, gentler nation.
Yes.
Kinder,
city on the hill. Yeah.
Well, kinder, gentler. I think city on the hill, that was, that's Reagan's line.
Right.
The kinder, gentler.
That's where he took it to, from the city on the hill to a kinder, gentler nation. It was like,
yes.
What?
Yes. He had this 1,000 points of light idea, which is okay. So, yeah. You know, it's good, and I'm for it. But kinder, that was a way of him saying, we're gonna moderate a little bit from this hardcore conservatism. That's the one part of the speech I said, I don't really like that. What do you mean kinder, gentler? I mean, a little bit kinder and gentler with the Soviet Union and the Eastern
right.
Bloc.
Foreign policy.
Which was faltering at that time, and which eventually, within a year or two, collapsed because of the strong stance of Ronald Reagan. In my view, it was his standing up to the Soviet Union and saying, I'm going to speak truth to that. It's an evil empire. And wow, when he said that, when he called the Soviet Union an evil empire, it was like the left went ballistic. I was in, I was at Central Michigan working on a master's degree in history when that came out. And my Russian history teacher, Stephen Scherer, a good guy, but he wasn't a conservative. He says that's criminally ignorant for him to say such a thing. He doesn't understand history. I says, huh. It's the way he called it an evil empire. But what did that do? It moved the needle, calling it the way it was. The Soviet Union was not good. Communism is not good. It takes away people's freedoms and their lives. And you got to call it out. And he did. And in the end, we didn't have a nuclear exchange with the Soviet Union. What happened to the Soviet Union? It collapsed. Okay, yeah. So, but I go back to 1980. George W. Bush took the vice presidency, and in the end, both leaders, they wanted to win. They didn't want more of Jimmy Carter. They didn't want more Democrats. They Democratic rule. So in the end, it's pragmatism. Listen, there is an argument to be made, and I suppose you've got an argument back on this. Who is of John James or of Perry Johnson, which one has the best chance of defeating Jocelyn Benson? Who do you think has the best chance of winning?
I'm going to tell you exactly who does. Perry Johnson's going to spend $150 million to beat her, and he's going to self-fund it. He does not have a donate button on his website, perryjohnson.com. Keep your money. I got this. He is going to personally fund $150 million in November and absolutely kick Benson's butt. John James can't compete with that number. We're going to talk about something you already said, voodoo economics, supply side economics, when we get back to further answer that question. Bottom of the Hour News, we'll be right back.